It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
You know what they say. Car companies doing things that piss me off tend to come in threes. Over the course of like a decade and a half. First, there was Subaru and their obsession with telling us all how much they donate to charity. Then there was Dodge Ram, whose commercials are still out there talking about how they've dedicated their lives to serving others, you know, as a truck company.
Yeah, I remember you talking about that one for sure. Well, Subaru too, now that you mentioned it, yeah.
And now a third one has happened. This one's almost subtle by comparison, but it's still there. So, as you may recall, due to the wonderful joys of late stage capitalism and its ability to stretch the wealth gap to heretofore unheard of widths, the generation after us is really fucked when it comes to like making enough money to not die. And out of that has come a resurgence of the term hustle, both in terms of having a side hustle, aka a second job, because you cannot pay your bills with one job, or just hustling in general, which is doing whatever you can to make money so again your utilities stay on and you don't die. So I recently saw a commercial in which the character in the commercial says, yeah, hustle, but for what matters, which sounds like a reasonable thing, like you need to earn money, but only, you know, for the important things in your life. You work to live, you don't live to work. Except the commercials for Lexus. I'm just gonna come out and say it. The Lexus company is never what matters. Ever. Lexus is the platonic ideal of unnecessary luxury item. Nobody has ever needed a Lexus. And so I love that we are once again, Amazon does this too, where we like try and pretend that like we're down with the people. And we're like, yeah, it's about what matters. Our incredibly expensive cars. That's what matters. You like the background noise of one of my cats digging through the litter box? I don't know if it's picking up. There he is. He wanted to let us know he was done. There's a concept, you wouldn't know this because you're not a cat owner, but other cat owners should know this. There's a concept known as the litter police.
Okay.
And I don't know how it works, but in every grouping of cats, one manifests as the litter police. And the litter police is the cat that checks the kitty litter and makes sure everything is as it should be. Everything is properly buried and stuff like that. And back in the day, it was Gray Boy. And then Gray Boy died. And now Addy has become the litter police. But in Addy's world, it is a much bigger deal. Because Ezzy, in her old age, has just decided that she can just pee near the litter box. She doesn't have to go in the litter box. Weirdly, she still goes in there to poop. But for peeing, if it's just on the mat that is outside the litter box, that is fine. And so Addie is frequently struck with, if she's done that and nobody else has caught it yet to do anything, he has to essentially scoop litter out of the litter box to soak it up. Mm. And he's very diligent about this. Unfortunately, this just reinforces in Ezzy's head that that spot also counts as a litter box because it has this litter. So what I'm saying is our house's property values are incredibly low, and it's all due to our cats.
Okay.
But that's not what matters. What matters is Lexus. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that uses moisture wicking technology to ensure that you stay cool and dry for the entire episode. You're welcome. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 571.
I thought it was 471. Math is hard.
It is. We shouldn't do it.
No. This is episode XX. For those of you just joining us, this is our podcast. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. People, mostly like three people, but people in general, write into that email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com, with whatever the crap they want. And then the hat, all on its own, magically decides to forward those emails to us sometimes. And we read them on the air, talk about them until we're bored. That's pretty much it, except that a lot of times we do whatever the hell we want. Yeah. So, how's your week been?
It's good. We're going to see Spider-Man tonight.
I'm pretty sure that's what's causing COVID.
Spider-Man's causing COVID.
The cold open a few weeks ago for Saturday Night Live was Biden giving a press conference, and he's like, COVID's getting worse, and it's because y'all keep going to see Spider-Man. He's like, stop seeing Spider-Man. And they're like, Mr. President, are you really saying that people going to movie theaters is what's causing? He's like, not movies in general. Go to see something else. It's specifically Spider-Man. Stop going to see Spider-Man.
Who's playing Biden on Saturday Night Live these days?
One of the new kids, actually, and does a pretty good job. He's also playing Trump, which he does a good job on, but I just get annoyed that they keep doing bits with Trump because I'm like, I don't want to be fucking reminded of this guy. But yeah, it's one of the new kids, and he does really, really well with it. I'm pretty pleased. I have it on middling authority that I should be able to rent it on my TV sometime next month. So I'm going to hold out.
Well,
although what I think is probably the biggest spoiler of the movie already accidentally got spoiled for me because I was messing around on YouTube without paying good attention. So.
Yeah, well, we're going to see it tonight. I think I'm trying to get my schoolwork done so that I don't feel stressed out about it.
So during this episode, William's going to be pretty quiet because he's going to be working on his schoolwork.
Let's see. I mean, you know, it's mostly been school for the last week. It seems like we've seen some, like we watched some TV show. Oh, we watched, this is already like 4 years old or whatever, but what's his name? The guy that wrote Game of Thrones. He produced and wrote a good portion of a sci-fi thing in 2018 called Night Flyers or something. Night Flyers. You heard of it?
Oh, yeah. That looked real awful.
I'm kind of baffled by
it's one of those that's based off of something, but they absolutely went in a totally different direction with it than the original material. Well, I believe.
I wouldn't. I mean, he was an executive producer on it.
Yeah, I think it might have been his stuff. People don't know. George R. R. Martin wrote a shit ton of books way before Game of Thrones became a thing. Weird superhero books and post-apocalyptic books and fantasy and sci-fi and all sorts of stuff.
Okay, well, this wasn't like, if someone were to pitch this idea to me, I think I would have thought it was pretty awesome, but the execution wasn't very good. I don't know why. It baffles me as to why, when they put it together, it almost felt like, so I think it was 8 episodes. It almost felt like it was supposed to be 13, and then they like cut a whole bunch of stuff out to make it fit into 8. So it was mostly incomprehensible. I mean, unless, like you said, it was based on an earlier property and you'd already read it. So that it that's another way. It felt a little like some of the early Harry Potter films felt like, if you hadn't read the books, felt like they weren't made for you. They were made for people who had read the books and could connect dots.
No, but I think this was hugely different from the original source material.
Oh, okay, well,
I think I read about it. I went down a wiki rabbit hole on it one time, but it was a while ago. So,
I mean, it had a lot of things about it that I should have loved it, really, given all the particular elements it had. But it just wasn't presented well. And I don't understand how that happens. How something could be so good in these aspects, but then get completely messed up. And consistently messed up. That's another thing. It's like, you'd think there would be at least one or two shows that were like, oh, that was a good episode. It's kind of like the Book of Boba Fett, you know? There's a lot of
Book of Boba Fett
stuff that doesn't make any sense. In some episodes, you're like, wow, that was a waste. But then you see an episode that's like, wow, that was really cool. This, not a single episode was blow you away neat or cool or anything. It was just consistently meh, you know? And I don't know why. But, I mean, we watched the whole thing. And I guess I'm glad I watched it because it had some interesting things in it, but I just don't know why it couldn't have been better. It should have been a show that I thought was genius, but it just didn't.
A million different steps in the process of making it involving a billion different people.
Right, right.
That's how everything gets made.
It just makes you wonder, was there some kind of executive decision that derailed it somehow? And like the people who made it.
Well, it could have been a bunch of things.
Yeah. I guess.
I recently saw a review for a movie I kind of want to check out called Monstrum. That's a sort of horror, but it's more action adventure Korean film. It's set in sort of a fantasy Korea. And the reviewer was like, it's nothing is new here. It is absolutely every action adventure trope, you know. So it's a heck of a lot like Red Notice and Army of the Dead and Army of Thieves, except it's much lower budget and doesn't have any well-known actors in it. So they have to replace all the CGI action and big name actors with things like character and story. And I was like, oh, that is what was missing from those. I only saw 2 out of 3 of those, but that was what was missing from those.
Yeah. How about you? How was your week?
Well, went to the Mississippi River for a long weekend.
Oh, yeah. Did you tell me you were going to do that? Or?
I think so. Okay.
I guess I just
forgot. I told the audience. I don't know if you were listening.
No, I'm sure I was.
No, because so me and my wife and my wife's youngest sister do Gamacon. And we actually did it in 2020 because it was like the last con before COVID hit. And this year they're doing it again, end of this month. And I found out and I texted them and I'm like, are we going to do this? And we were all like, I don't think we're ready for that. But then we're like, what we should do is like rent a place in the Quad Cities and have our own little mini gaming convention for 3 days. And that's what we did. And so we hung out and we played a lot of board games and stuff. And we also watched a lot of crap. Introduced my sister-in-law to Legendary and Pitch Meetings and Bob's Burgers and all sorts of stuff. So that was fun.
Good.
But I am old. And so when I go away and I eat a bunch of garbage all weekend long, including just more Chex Mix than the body should be able to handle. And then I sleep in a weird bed and everything. Like 3 days of that means like a week and a half of getting my sleep cycles and my digestive tract back on track. So I have spent most of this week going, I don't think I'm sick, but I might be sick because I have a lot of symptoms, but I really think they're just because I'm too old to be fucking around with strange sleep cycles and eating junk food for 3 days.
Right.
So I am starting to feel better, but yeah, that's a sad sign of things. We have watched the first two episodes of Murderville. You watched Murderville?
I did. I was going to ask you about that. I forgot.
Have you watched all of Murderville?
Yes.
Yes. We have only watched two episodes so far. I am very pleased and also glad that there's only six episodes and they're half hour long. I'm like, you could quickly get real tired of this.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to do it again.
I mean, it'll depend on the success, I'm sure. I didn't realize it's based off of a British property that's similar, apparently.
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, in the credits, you can tell. What I didn't realize until we started watching the, okay, I think we talked about this before, but for those who don't remember, Will Arnett plays a homicide detective, and every episode he has a new partner who is a celebrity, and the joke is the celebrity partner is not given any sort of script, and everybody else has stuff that they're doing, but nobody gave the partner any sort of script, and the partner is required by the end to deduce who the killer was. And what I didn't realize until I started watching the first episode and confirmed when I watched the second is the show, even though it has a pretty set routine to each episode, is very different depending on who the celebrity partner is. Because first episode is Conan O'Brien, who is real good at yes anding and does a lot of improv and like is built into this kind of thing and really like goes with the flow of what they're trying to do, and it was really funny. And the second episode was NFL player Marshawn Lynch, who doesn't know shit about shit when it comes to acting or comedy or any of that, and just said whatever the hell he felt like, and it was also really funny in a completely different way. So I am having a lot of fun with it, but I feel like by episode six, I'm going to be like, that's enough for now. Like, it's not robust enough. It's a good joke and it's a complex joke, but it's one joke. And so six episodes of that joke is probably going to be enough for now. But I am excited. Next one's Kumail Nanjiani. And I know we got Sharon Stone coming and Ken Jeong. And I think it's going to be interesting.
It is. I was going to ask you if you were going to watch it because I thought might enjoy it. But my observation is I feel like if they have another season, it might be better, because sometimes I got the impression that the stars they had in it, because they'd never seen a season of it before, didn't totally get what they were supposed to do. And after a season has happened, and when stars sign on, they'll have a better idea of, oh, okay, I get it.
It might be better. I don't know if that'll improve it though. Sometimes in a situation like this, not knowing helps.
Well, not in this case, I don't think, because the things that I'm noticing are, like you were talking about, yes anding. I think some people, and I'm just guessing, I think some people would have done that better, right? If they'd seen a season and went, oh, I get what this is about. Mm-hmm. Or I think sometimes maybe they didn't totally understand how to figure out who the killer was. And maybe after watching a season, they go, oh, okay, I see. Now I get it. And because they get more what they're supposed to be doing and how it's supposed to end, they might you know, might have a better idea. But you're right. It could have, that could also mess it up. I don't know.
I am 0-2 on guessing the murderer. And both times I had a guess and I had reasons for my guess.
Yeah.
And both times I was very wrong. Trish got the second one. But yeah, I fucked that up.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say, but it's fun. Yeah, I mean, I think people should watch it. I think people should watch it, but I just felt like after it was over, I thought, I think the next crop of stars, if they watch the show first, I kind of got that impression from, the Muppet Show. Honestly, I thought the first season, sometimes the people in it didn't really get how Muppets work or what the show was going to look like when it aired. And then, you know, after the first season, people could go, oh, okay, I get it now. And then when they were guest stars, they, you know, they knew how to act and they knew, had an idea of what it was supposed to look like when it was done. Because when you're there, you know, you see the puppeteers, you don't see through the camera what it's supposed to look like. You know, there's a lot of practical stage illusion that you don't get until you see it on television. You go, oh, okay, that's, now I see what they were doing.
And Will Arnett is very similar. Like, just watch him on set, you'd see the people with their hand up his butt and all that kind of deal.
Well, like the Conan episode felt a lot like his segments.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It felt a lot like his usual comedy segments. And maybe that's okay. Or maybe, you know, after watching the season, he would have thought to himself, no, I would have done it a little different. You know, I would have responded to things a little different. But I don't know.
Let's ask him, because he's here now, ladies and gentlemen. No.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm thinking that if I was in this show in the first season, I can see me doing this, that, and the other thing because I wouldn't completely understand what the concept was. And then after watching a season, I think to myself, I wish I could do that again because then I would do it different.
I have seen shows where that's happened. But I've been playing a lot of Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Final
Fantasy. I keep forgetting 14. You're doing that. Is the PS4 not updating us on all the trophies you're getting, or do you not get trophies in Final Fantasy?
No, in the beginning I got a bunch, and now I don't. I'm getting achievements inside the game. But I got a bunch at the beginning, and now I haven't got a trophy in ages.
Yeah.
But I'm moving on, and I'm really having fun. And unsurprisingly, I have found that I enjoy healing in dungeons, and that I can do it pretty well, especially given that I don't talk to anybody because I don't have a keyboard. I've been doing pretty well at that, so I've been enjoying that. But I want to talk about last night. Trish and I watched a movie I've seen before multiple times, but Trish, it's another one of those where it's like, it turns out Trish never actually saw this movie, and I was like, holy shit, you want to see it? And she's like, yeah. And so we did it. It's a little movie by the name of Fallen, starring Denzel Washington. It's from somewhere in the 90s. Have you not seen this movie?
I mean, as you talk about it, I'll probably remember if I've seen it before.
All right. It depends on how you look at it. I would call it probably a thriller horror. Amazon called it drama, comma, suspense. It has horror themes. It is not particularly a lot of violence or gore or anything. There is some, but not much. It is, it came out around the same time, and I would say is in a similar vein to like Seven. But not gross like Seven. Seven's really gross. Denzel Washington is a cop, and we start off and there's a serial killer who he caught, and the serial killer is going to be put to death, and the serial killer seems surprisingly okay with this and joking around and saying things in weird languages, and then dies. And then shortly afterwards, somebody starts murdering in very similar ways to the dead serial killer. And there might be something spooky going on. And a lot of these are very trope filled now. A lot of this stuff, I think, actually owes credit to Fallen. I really like it. I've seen, like I said, I've seen it quite a few times. It holds up surprisingly well. It has what for right now is a slightly antiquated and you could say problematic view of police. But I feel like most cop dramas from the 90s probably have that view now. But yeah, Denzel Washington gives a little speech about how basically corrupt cops are still doing more good in the world than basically everyone else who's not a cop. And that's a little weird at this point. But overall, it holds up real well. It has pre-Sopranos James Gandolfini. It has Donald Sutherland back when he was an older gentleman rather than an old gentleman. And it has what I can confidently say is probably one of my, if not my favorite, John Goodman performances. He plays Denzel Washington's partner, and I really like him in this. And yeah, and it gets weird, and it's got some cool Christian mythology, which is some of my favorite. And yeah, I would recommend it in general. It's a good sort of spooky, mysterious movie, and I like it. Hey, check it out.
So what year was it? Do you know more precisely?
Somewhere in the 90s. I don't remember. Probably the late 90s, because at one point he's got a cell phone. And I'm like, that's weird, especially because we've established that he doesn't make a ton of money.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen it, but if it's far enough back in the 90s, like if it's before 1998,
so it might most be, of the 90s.
Yeah, if it's before 1998, it might be something I've seen that Abby hasn't seen, because it would be from 1998 on where we probably both know what the other person's watching because we watched it together. But before that, don't know.
Yeah, the problem is there's a fucking new movie/TV show called Fallen that's a young adult supernatural romance bullshit. 1998.
Oh, so I'll have to ask her if she's ever seen it, because that sounds like something she'd like to see if she's never seen it.
I would recommend it.
I feel pretty certain I've seen it.
And honestly, I like Denzel Washington in general, but Denzel Washington in his mainstream leading man era is great. I love that. It's always weird in that his love interest always has to stay very platonic if it's a white lady, because that's how we did it. Denzel Washington's position as a film leading man, like in the 90s, is very odd if you look at it through the lens of race and things like that. It's a little freaky, but I really love him in it. And again, in this one, he's sort of got a love interest, but like they never get to kiss or anything. Okay. That's the thing. It is very rare to see a black man end up with a white woman in a film. And it shows up every once in a while now, but it's very rare. If it's another black woman, or if it's a Hispanic Latino woman, that's fine. But white women, not so much. And the opposite, you can see plenty. White guys can end up with black women, but not the other way. It's one of those weird, once you see it, it's hard to unsee kind of. Is Hollywood really still doing this? But they are. It's kind of fucked up. And yeah, it was really obvious in the 90s when Denzel Washington was in anything. There are so many movies where the love interest, like, they never quite, like, they're clearly very fond of each other, but nothing ever quite manifests anytime it's a white woman. If it's not a white woman, no problem. But anyway, I would recommend this film. I think it's quite good. It has a very good cast. The cast is loaded with people that we're both like, that's somebody. Like, we're constantly like that. We know that person. I don't know who, what their name is, but I very much know that actor. Like, there were just a ton of those. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I like it. And it helped up surprisingly well. And Elias Koteas is in it as the original serial killer. And he's one of those that during his heyday in the 90s, I didn't like him. And now I realize that I didn't like him because he's kind of scary. He intimidated me and he scared me, which is what he was usually cast for. So it worked really well. And now I'm like, oh, he's actually a really good actor. But I didn't know at the time because he frequently played characters I didn't like. Okay. So. Questions.
Okay.
Emails.
Yeah, emails.
Emails. So I was watching it again the other day. Did you ever see the new It movies?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't because I didn't want to, and I still don't. But I've watched the pitch meetings for them. And I recently rewatched them a couple times, actually, because on the second one, there's a big joke about the producer trying to remember what movies these are. And then finally, like, it's the one we did last year with the scary clowns. It's the second chapter. It's like, oh, yeah. Is he still a scary clown? They're like, yeah. He's like, does he still talk like Winnie the Pooh sometimes? And the writer goes, yep. And then the producer goes, hello. And the writer goes, hello. And I don't know why. I love it. I watch it just to hear them both go, hello. And that was when I texted you about how good Ryan George is at doing this, because that was the moment where they both did it and it sounded very similar because it's the same guy. But that was the moment where I realized in my head, I'm like, no, I think of those as two different people. That's how well he does that.
Yeah, he's good at it.
Hello. Sound like Winnie the Pooh. All right. This is from Beth. We love Beth. Hi, yeah. Beth. You didn't ever come and tell us your thoughts on our unhelpful pizza. Do that. The subject of this email is called meal plan. Question mark. Do you meal plan? Like, bro, do you even meal plan? I mean, God. How do you decide what you're going to eat for the week? Parentheses, do you look at cookbooks or websites for inspiration? And parentheses, do you find this process easy or arduous? I like this question.
Mm.
How do you feel about this question?
I don't meal plan.
Bro.
No, I don't. You know, it's.
Do you, how much of your meals do you cook?
Well, I mean, like, I make my own lunches usually, but yeah. Like for dinner, you know, because my wife eats meat, she, you know, mostly cooks dinner and she'll just because I don't know even how to cook anything that she wants to eat. Cause I, you know, I never really even learned how to cook a steak or anything like that. I mean, when I was growing up, we would brown hamburger for things. That was it. That was pretty much it. Or, you know, we'd make pizzas and we'd put whatever on it. But, you know, she wants to make things, you know, meat dishes that she can have that I don't know how to cook. She doesn't even know how to cook them until she like looks it up and gets a recipe or whatever. So she'll cook and then I'll just eat the non-meat aspects of her meal, basically, is how it usually works. But I mean, I make all my own lunches and sometimes I'll make my suppers too, depending on what the situation is. And I basically just, whatever I make is whatever we've got. You know, we do talk sometimes before we shop at the same day every week. So we do talk some a little bit about, well, what should we get? You know, and I guess that's kind of meal planning because we're thinking of how that next week is going to go for what we're going to eat and stuff, but it's not very specific. You know, we're not looking up recipes or anything like that. It's just kind of a general, like Abby will get, like she'll get certain types of fish or she'll get buffalo, ground buffalo meat, or she'll get whatever, not with a particular meal in mind, just, well, I want this available so that when I do figure out what I want, this will be what's in it, you know. And that's kind of my thing too. It's like, well, I, you know, get these components and I'll figure out in the moment how I'm going to put them together for a meal or whatever. And I guess that works, but it does make for a weekly menu that's, you know, not super complicated and maybe by some people's estimation, not super sophisticated, but I mean, over here is complaining. I'm not complaining.
Is it particularly diverse, or do you find that you often have the same things?
No, it isn't particularly diverse. But again, it doesn't really bother me. I think Abby would like for it to be more diverse. I think in her perfect world, she would meal plan for every week or maybe every month, I don't know, and make it interesting and exciting or whatever. But I mean, for one thing, she's not getting any pressure from me to do that because I don't care. I don't care that it's
you would take flavorless pills for food if that was an option.
Sure.
I'm a little surprised you haven't gotten into the whole Soylent movement.
No, but she, you know, but she doesn't have time or bandwidth even really to do all that. So we just end, you know, it just ends up being whatever it is. I don't have any issue with it. I think she might a little bit, but it kind of comes down to her to do something different. And when she has the energy and bandwidth too, she does. And when she doesn't, she doesn't. But
Let me ask you this. So there's a dish that involves meat. You don't know how to cook. She also doesn't know how to cook. Hmm. She's the one who learns and cooks it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Is that because, why is that? Why aren't you the one who learns it and cooks it?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't think she wants me. Like, I've noticed even when I'm doing the dishes, because I always do the dishes. I do the dishes, always. That she doesn't like when I have to deal with meat-oriented things with the dishes. If they're really greasy or they have a lot of pieces of meat or whatever. Now, she knows that I'm not, you know, I don't have some ethical thing about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But she doesn't like that I have to deal with it.
Because that's the thing. If you were an ethical vegetarian, which I thought you were for most of the time I knew you, I wouldn't have asked this question because it would be obvious. Right. Knowing that you're not, I don't understand.
She doesn't really, in whatever issues I have or don't have, she has issues with me having to deal with it. I don't think she likes the fact that she has to eat meat. I think she wishes she didn't have to for health reasons. So she doesn't really want me to worry about it. And it's not just her. I mean, I don't want to learn how to cook a dish that I'm not going to eat, really. I wouldn't mind, you know, if she was like, hey, can you learn how to cook this for me because I'm worn out, blah, 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 or whatever. Sure. Yeah, I can do that.
Well, and there's also dishes that you can make that you add meat to. I mean,
that's exactly right.
My sister has done that a lot. My sister is kind of omnivorous, but her daughter definitely eats meat and her husband definitely is vegetarian. So she's gotten good at, you make a vegetarian meal and sort of split it in half and then add meat to.
Yeah, which I think Abby does sometimes or whatever. So yeah, I mean, that wouldn't be a big deal, but it just, you know, Abby's adoption of meat eating again, because you know she was vegetarian for many years, has not been for her, you know, the 100% smooth, you know. She's not felt 100% comfortable with it. She doesn't, again, even though she knows I don't have any ethical issues with at all. If I had any ethical issues, it would be for her not to eat meat because she needs it. I don't have a problem with anybody eating meat. That's their choice.
Wow. See, I eat meat like crazy and I have ethical issues with it.
Well, but again, that's, everyone's got their own thing, right?
Yeah.
She just wishes, I think she has more ethical issues about it than I do. So she wishes she didn't have to. And I mean, I don't think she wants me to, but again, also I do the dishes every time, you know, so that's kind of my job. So she takes cooking as kind of her job and that's how we feel like we're equitably splitting up the chores or something. Hmm. But I wouldn't wholly object to figuring it out or whatever or anything like that. She knows that, but I don't think she wants, I think she feels bad. She feels bad about the fact that she has to eat meat. And she feels bad that I have to, well, like, you know, like she'll have to do things with meat on the cutting board or whatever, you know, that I might want to cut up an apple or vegetables on. And she feels bad that, you know, that's got animal stuff on and she has to wash it off. And it's like, it's okay. You know, I'm fine. I'm all right. You know, I can wash it too. And once I've washed it, I feel perfectly safe cutting an apple or something on it, but she feels bad about me even having to think about it or worry about it. I wish she didn't, but you know, that's how it is. But I don't know. I don't know if that even answers your question.
It does, like four times.
Okay. Sorry. Well, I guess I wasn't sure if it answered the question. In my mind.
Yeah, no, I know. You frequently think you're misunderstood one just, but you were very clear each time you reiterated this time. I got it.
Well, all right.
Right.
All
right then. I understand you fully. It's because you're grossed out by meat and don't think anybody should be eating it. Right.
Shut up.
And you're like, if she asked me to cook, I would headbutt her. I can't even. How very dare you, I would say. So as we all know, I got put in charge of cooking when I lost my job and became a homemaker. And before then, neither of us cooked very much at all. Trish likes cooking, but only if she has the sort of comfort and luxury to do it if she feels like it. Like she doesn't like having to, and she, as many people, doesn't like cooking while working a full-time job. I used to like cooking and then kind of didn't, and now I'm coming to really enjoy it again. And we have a very sort of set schedule for our week. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. I cook us dinner. Wednesday is date night. So back in the day, we would go out. Nowadays, we order in, but hopefully we will go out again. We have once or twice, but hopefully that'll be more once that happens. Friday, we generally order in because Friday is just like the end of the week. And so we just sit around and watch a movie or something and order pizza or something like that. And Sunday, I sometimes cook. But it's when we have supper with the neighbors. And so I might be cooking supper for six people, or I might be contributing things, Or I might not be cooking at all and they're cooking. It varies depending on the week. Or we might be ordering pizza, or who knows. I make her lunch for work 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday. Friday, I go in the morning and get us bagels, and I get her a couple of bagels, and that's sort of her breakfast and lunch that she takes to work with her. And then on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday, generally speaking, I go get us lunch from usually a fast food place. So we have a very regular process for our meals. And in the beginning, it was a lot of very basic stuff because there were only sort of a few things I remembered how to make. And slowly this is increasing. And I'm really getting into it and I'm learning a lot of new stuff and it's great. And Trish is maintaining that I really need to keep a list of what I made because we keep forgetting. And so like 6 months will go by and like, oh crap, why didn't you make that thing? We love that thing. So I should keep a list so we can know. But when I'm preparing on Sunday to do the shopping on Monday, I will ask like, have you got any particular requests? And sometimes she does like for a specific things, other things like, a few weeks ago, she said, can we do something with mushrooms? I haven't had mushrooms in a while. I want mushrooms. And I said, sure. And so 3 of the 4 suppers I made that week involved mushrooms. And they were really good. And I realized we both love mushrooms. I need to do more of that. The Instant Pot has changed things a lot. I make a ton of stuff with the Instant Pot. My wife comes from a long line of natural cooks that just like close their eyes and throw shit into a pot and it turns out good.
Yeah.
And their family recipes, as I think I've said before, say things like add some cheese or cook until good, like stuff like this. So I tried to sort of do that and I'm very bad at that. And so I've had to learn. And now I follow recipes. Usually what I will do is if there's a general dish I want to make, I will go online and I will read about 5 different recipes. And then I will sort of see what the commonalities are and then kind of fake it. But more and more, I've been doing specific recipes and I've got enough under my belt now that I'm starting to improvise and make other things. And I'm getting better at that. But this is also through Trish because Trish's family grew up quite poor. 1 income, 4 kids. Now they're not, but at the time they were. And so she was used to her mother going to the store, buying staples, largely based on what was on sale, and bringing them home and then just turning them into meals. Whereas I am like, okay, I've got 4 suppers this week. What am I going to make for each of those 4?
Right.
And I still will base it on what's on sale. And sometimes I'll be vague. Like, I'm going to do something with pork chops. I don't know what it'll be, but I'll get those. Things like that. Or it'll be like, you know, and I need to get a vegetable for that meal. And I don't know what the vegetable will be. I will go to the store and see what looks good and what's on sale and get it. That kind of thing. But I still largely am like, all right, I'm going to have these 4 things. Or sometimes I'll do more if it's something that I know will last for a while. And I'll be like, that'll be my backup if I need it. I can make it another time. And that'll go to next week. Already. But yes, in general, I do meal plan. I think I can't do it the way your mother did it because there's only 2 of us. And if I bought things like she did, they would go bad before we had a chance to eat them all.
Right.
We don't have a lot of people here. It's just 2 adults. So it's not a thing. So I have to get a little bit more specific, but I have gotten better at stretching the money a little bit better at the grocery store and stuff. And our budget's not hurting too bad, so I don't have to worry too much. Sorry, now I feel like I'm just repeating my answer over and over again. So that's all we got for that. You, the dude in the hat, read an email.
Okay.
How'd you know I was talking about you? Could have been a different dude in the hat.
So this is from Azure Talon.
Azure Talon.
I spotted this worksheet in school.
Wait, you in school? Ajitan, do you go back to try and finish the fourth grade? What is going on? Why are you in school? What are you in school for? What are you learning? Can I teach you? How much do you pay in tuition? Is it a real degree or is this like in your imagination? Can other people see this school? Tell us in the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com. And if you think you know why Azertown is going to school or just want to make some shit up, also go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com, and tell us.
I spotted this worksheet in school and it seems to be an information hazard because it's driving me insane. Well, is that the only way you decide if something's an information hazard, if it drives you insane? That seems like a pretty loose criteria. Anyway, so this thing that he's talking about, it looks like it's trying to teach people how to make sounds with their mouths.
So there's an
illustration of a mouth, and then there's a letter underneath it. And let's say in one case it's let's not just say it. It is in one case it's the letter S, and there's a snake next to it. I suppose to illustrate that, you know, this S is the first letter in the word snake, and this is what your mouth should look like when you're making the S sound.
Yeah, then, no, this is fucked up.
There's an illustration next to it. Again, the mouth looks like it's making the Z sound, and there is the letter Z next to it. But then there's a B, presumably because in American culture, when we say what sound a B makes, we do the Z sound. But over here, S stands for the beginning of snake, surely. Oh, unless they think snakes make the S sound. I don't know. But then there's another picture with a mouth that looks like it's making the TH sound, and there's TH under it. And then there's a sandwich picture. Right? Is that a sandwich? Yeah. There's a fourth section, but I'm not sure it's relevant to what he wants to ask. But anyway, so I mean, that's what the picture. So he goes, I know snakes go and bees go, but I can't figure out how you quantify the sound of a sandwich. What does TH have to do with the picture help?
All right. So I actually know a little bit about this.
Oh, didn't your wife study?
This is why I know a little bit about this.
Okay.
My wife, before she went on to tech support, software testing and management of software testers, and then directing of managers of software testers, got her master's degree in speech pathology.
Yeah, speech pathology, right.
And so she knew a lot about this, and I have learned from her. And this is every letter, or at least every phoneme that we've got, has a voiced and unvoiced version. Right. And in that, essentially, your mouth and tongue and everything are doing the same position for both, but you're using your vocal cords or not. And a great example is S and Z, because for S, you're just S and no vocal cords involved. It's just breath. But then if you get them involved, same position of everything, but you go Z and then it's Z sound.
D and T are another example. D and T is voiced and voiceless. The same thing otherwise. Yep. Exact same thing otherwise.
Yep. There's a bunch of them. TH sandwich might be the episode title. Although I like sandwich, maybe it's just sandwich. Is insane. There's only one possible thing I can think of. That's not a sandwich. But there's a problem with that because it's clearly a sandwich.
Well, you can kind of see through on the image. You can see that there is another illustration where the mouth looks like it's supposed to be making the F sound, and there's a letter F, and then there's a cat. So surely hey, that F, stands F, for fur.
F is in feline. You know, you
get oh, that. Feline. Okay, maybe, maybe.
But and it's not in the same mouth position. The th one has the tongue, not as the S and the Z is what I'm saying. S and Z, the horrifying. I don't like disembodied mouths. I want to go on record as saying that. Like this, the lips from like fucking Rocky Horrors, I don't enjoy that. I don't like it. And that's what we got here. We got some. Yeah, let's see if you can see on the YouTube. See, this is it's oh, all yeah. mirrored, but
show them
it's
YouTube.
Fucked up.
That's good.
It's fucked up. S and Z, the mouth is to the untrained eye, the same. But the TH, the mouth is very different. So
also in English, there's not a difference between the voice and unvoiced for TH. It's just how you say it, like the or th. It's both the same.
Oh, fuck you, Azertone. Are you learning a different language? Do they? Is this like they say sandwich in German or whatever with a th? Like, are you screwing with us right now? Well, okay. I mean, the alternative is that he's just now learning how to speak, which. That don't seem right. I mean, it also could be his kid's thing. Maybe he's getting a master's in speech pathology.
But it just doesn't. It also doesn't seem like the illustration you would use would be a picture of the thing that culturally, you know, because different cultures will say an animal makes a different type of sound, right? So it's like, I mean, does everybody associate the S sound with the sound a snake makes?
This is interesting that you say this, though, because did I tell you about Big Bug when I watched Big Bug, the movie?
Yeah, you talked about
French existentialist sci-fi comedy. Yes. At one point that somebody is imitating a dog in that movie and they say like rough or bark or something like that. But I learned in French class that French people think dogs say wah, wah, wah.
Oh,
so I don't know what the fuck was going on there, but I think we can go for snake. I feel, but also, if this is just speech pathology, it's probably very American centered, like an asshole. So we're not dealing with words here. We're dealing with the sounds. Is what the snake says. Is what the bee says. And zzz is what the sandwich says.
Yes.
Like,
but up here, B is for ball. There's a ball. That's what that starts with, the word B.
That's because they don't have a thing that goes B. We don't have a B.
I don't understand.
And D is for what's the D? What is that image? Oh, it's a drum. It's a drum.
Oh, drum. Okay. And up, I think, is what the arrow's
supposed to be. Oh, it's for up.
Yeah.
God damn it, Azertone. I don't.
I mean, to be fair, so far, the sandwich one is the only one we can't really figure out. Everything else does make some kind of sense,
but not the same sense.
Right, you're right.
Because yeah. B does not start with Z.
No, it doesn't.
I am thoroughly confused by this, but I don't care. So as soon as we're done, I'll be over it. However, what I won't be over is once again, Azertone is right. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it pisses me off every time. This was clearly created by a crazy person. I don't know what's happening, and it's awful.
I mean, I can't even think of another word for sandwich that starts with TH.
No, it's about what it says. What does the sandwich say? The sandwich says snake goes. B goes, sandwich goes, You'd know this if you meal plant.
A cat goes.
Cat goes. That does happen with my cat a lot. I don't. And balls go. And drums go. And arrows pointing upward go.
That is a.
They look. That one looked. This was a terrible plan. Whoever came up with this is a terrible plan. They are bad at teaching.
I mean, it looks like it's got cheese and lettuce. Yeah,
it is one of those great cartoon sandwiches in that it has two thick layers of lettuce.
Yeah.
Which you only ever see in animated sandwiches, but you often see.
Is it bad. A kind of sandwich? I mean,
it's a cheese sandwich.
I don't get it.
It's a thick sandwich because it has two layers, two very dense layers of lettuce, makes it a very thick. This is a disaster. God damn it. Azure Talent, do you actually know? Like, if you know, you have to tell us. It's a rule. It's like if you're a cop. You have to. And if you don't know, you fucking find your teacher and say, what is up with this? I refuse to pay any more tuition until you explain what the hell is going on here.
I mean, another problem with it is that whether or not it can be figured out, I'm sure we could come up with easier, like, you know, pictures that would work perfectly fine, that would be more obvious, that would not be baffling in any way, couldn't we?
The first two are awesome. The snake bee thing, I am super here for.
Oh, okay.
I love those because I think that is one of the best ways to demonstrate. And S and Z is a common one you use when you're explaining it to people. After that, it goes nuts. The cat, what picture with the
what picture would you use for the TH? What picture would you use?
What goes apparently a sandwich. I don't know. What I'm saying is this is a very good way to teach about S and Z. It's apparently a bad way to teach about every other sound.
I'm kind of at a loss of what would work.
I'm
thinking of things, but they wouldn't be very good.
As you're telling, somebody has to answer for this. You need to find out what is going on and you need to tell us, or else you will be held personally responsible.
You can't think of a picture you would use instead?
All I can think of is Sandy Newton, the actress.
I'm thinking like throw, like you could show a person throwing something.
But this isn't even good because there's two different THs. There's thick, and then there's
voiced and voiced.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It's exactly right.
And this is neither. It's a sandwich. I mean, I guess it's unvoiced in that sound does not show up anywhere in the word. I mean, I'd rather use seriously. Is this mocking people with a speech impediment? I don't, Azure Talent.
That's what Azure Talent thinks.
You need to find the answer. I mean, you can't have come to us really expecting the truth because we don't know shit. We've proven that over 11 years. There has to be an answer.
Why can't I think of a common object that's a noun that starts with TH? Why am I having a hard time?
Throw pillow. Thought balloon. Thick chocolate milkshake.
See, you're not
three blind mice.
Well, but the number three, that would be good.
Yeah, but unvoiced, it's
three.
13. Oh, shit. The song only goes to 12 days of Christmas. 13 ghosts, you know, as in 13 ghosts. That one ghost is eating a sandwich. God damn it. You've ruined my week, Edgetown. Way to go. Edgetown, you fix this. We got to go. We got to finish. Sorry, thinness. If you have any idea, I mean, Edgetown, first of all, put the image on the blog so everybody can see. Because mine was weird and mirrored. But also, if you think you know what's going on, tell us, please.
What's that instrument that you move your hand and it makes different noises?
A theremin?
Yeah, could be that. I thought that started with a T.
God damn it.
Oh, no.
The problem is, I hate when you say things like this, because you're not wrong, but you're wrong. Like,
yeah, I know. Yeah.
I don't like that.
I get it.
I'm like, you should stop that because, and I don't have a good reason, but I still believe you should stop that. Write us more stuff, people. We're almost out again. We need more things like this. Don't you want to see us freak out over some bullshit schoolwork you found? I mean, isn't that why we're all listening / watching? I know I am. Yeah, if you think you have an answer to this, or if you want to discuss your meal planning, I will take any meal planning advice. I am still figuring this shit out. And I would love any meal planning advice there. Go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and tell us. Or you can also email me with that if you want. I mean, it's trickier, but I'll get that too, probably. Unless the hat's feeling like a jerk. If you want to write something involving William, I guess that's fine too. I don't care. He asked if he could come along, and I said sure. If you want to play Final Fantasy 14, get on the Brynhildr server, and then we can be friends. I'm currently a level 49 summoner and scholar, and a pretty good cook, and a very good weaver, and a mediocre fisherman.
How about meal planner? How are you doing with that?
No good. I'm a level 35 culinarian.
And with all that experience cooking, you don't know how a sandwich can start with TH, so.
Yeah, in a fantasy world, it could be named fucking anything. And yet, the one immutable rule, no speculative fiction, can include the idea that sandwich starts with TH.
Or makes that sound.
Here's your little sandwich. You said. But only if it has two layers of lettuce. One is romaine and one is kale. Can you make the sound that the kale makes? The kale goes. And the romaine lettuce goes. Wow. Did you know romaine lettuce made that noise?
No, I didn't.
Also, I just said romaine lettuce. We got to get out of here. This is a disaster, people. Figure it out, Azure Talon, or this could be the end of the podcast. I don't know. It's doing my head in.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.